The Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic. Discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Hey, welcome to the Strategic Hot Box. It's your girl, Brandi Stankovic. We're excited today to talk about a very interesting and relevant and a topic that is going to impact each and every one of the people that are listening today, because you can start applying some of these tools immediately. And as you know, I feel like I'm intended on this planet to energize people to be the best that they can be. And our guest today, Dave Mazzani, also has very similar aspirations in what he does, and he does it in a very, very cool way. Our topic is leadership lessons from MMA fighting. So let's do it. As you know, we break the podcast up into Learn, Love, and Kick Ass. In the Learn section, it's all about providing some tools, some things to think about, get your juices flowing of how to approach a topic in a different way, or how some of different people in different industries are approaching leadership. In the Love section, we always talk to a subject matter expert, today with Dave Mazzani, and get their story, their leadership journey, and how they're making a difference in people's lives. And then the third section, as you know, our favorite segment is the kick-ass segment, and that'll give you the tools that you need or things to think about that you can start implementing today. And I feel like we've chosen to make this podcast delivered in a very authentic manner. And what I mean by that is we're giving it to you straight. So often I feel like in the leadership courses that I've been in, or schools, or when I was getting my master's, or, you know, in any sort of scholastic or industry education, a lot of times we'll tiptoe around topics, or we'll have these theoretical discussions and then not necessarily do a good enough job in applying it in what we do every day. So then when we get back to the office, we get back to the shop, get back to the field, the studio, wherever you go and call work. And then it's like, okay, you just get busy and all out that theory goes out of our brains. And so our efforts here are to really apply it so you can start making a difference and choosing to change your life. So in leadership lessons from MMA fighting, I love the idea of applying fighting with leadership, of fitness, health with leadership, because the fact that leadership really is a fight. One of my favorite quotes on the planet is the one by Mike Tyson that says, "Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face." And I love that, right? I mean, it's so true. It's the idea that you can be just trucking along, doing great, and just get knocked in the side of the face, and it changes everything. And that is just, it's an important thing for leaders to go through in their own emotional maturity or emotional intelligence that we've talked a lot about, or to just be able to be prepared and have contingencies. Know what you're going to do if and when. Know what you're going to do next. So I love the idea of fighting and fitness and martial arts and how it all plays together. And I pulled out some things that I think are one of the greatest opportunities or lessons that I've learned in my experience in fitness and in fighting. And the first is that hard work and perseverance pays off. I've shared with you that when we ran the triathlon last year about swimming and in the swim portion, and it was really windy, and at one point I thought I was going to drown, and all you can do in a moment of that is to calm yourself down, tell yourself to get the F over it, and then roll over and keep swimming, right? I mean, that's essentially all you can do. Well, same kind of goes in this idea of fitness and martial arts and things, that in a place of sparring or in a place of battle, that you really, your senses are heightened, and hard work, you can feel the difference. You can feel it in what you're doing. And same is true in your leadership lives. In the office, how often do you focus on a weakness and do something every single day to get better at that? And we don't focus it, I feel like, in a gray area or in an intellectual capital capacity. We don't in the same way that we do with fitness, and we should. Number two is that technique is invaluable. In any martial art, and I'm sure Dave will share a bit of his journey as well, in any martial art, you have a certain amount of technique where I think when you're a young person or maybe new to the sport or to the art, you're learning this technique and it feels like, right? It's same as true in music and everything. And yet that technique will serve you forever in your career in whatever art that is. And the same is true in leadership. People will say, oh, I don't need to go to college because, you know, other people have made millions of dollars and not done it. Well, don't think of college as something that you have to do. Think of it as something that you get to do. Expanding your mind in whatever field you're in, even if it's a late night of Googling stuff or Wikipedia, knowing as much as you can and listening and observing what's happening in the world and having that be part of your technique, part of what makes you, it's your foundation and fundamental, great. Number three is humility over arrogance. And when I was in college, I taught cardio kickboxing and I taught for a fitness studio that now I believe is called Freestyle Fitness with Trace Weatherford. Shout out to my homies back in Reno. And I also started training in Lynx, which was this mix of mixed martial arts as well as like some weapons fighting and all this stuff. And I just really thought I was like a super badass because I was in college and I was like, you know, teaching cardio and I was doing this stuff. And the one of the main guys for, because I believe it was founded in Virginia, came out to Reno to talk to us about Lynx and how it can help our lives and our progression and just the discipline of the art. And in that, he's like, is anybody here feel like they're really, really fit? And I'm like, well, I am, right? And I raise my hand like I'm a total BA because, you know, I teach cardio and I'm fancy and I'm young and I'm in college. And so I stood up and he knocked me out, like knocked me on my ass, full on, just right. And he hit me like right here on the top of the forehead. I remember because it was like this large for weeks after that. And I wasn't completely out. I was awake the entire time, but it sure knocked me on my booty. I was so embarrassed. And then I'm like, you know, red and crying to my friends. And now I'm crying because I got hurt and I thought it was tough and it bruised my ego. It bruised my everything, but it was such an intense and amazing moment for me to go through that. And I'm glad that he did that. And it was part of my leadership because it put me down a notch. That it, my ego in that moment was getting in my way and I wasn't going to be able to progress and move forward if I didn't respect that there's always going to be somebody out there that is better than me or different or a variety or all of that. And I think that humility is so important and really that comes into respect your competition. So from a leadership sense, respect your competition. If you think you're a badass, that's a problem. I believe in confidence and I think confidence is invaluable to our journeys, but you also have to respect that there are other people out there that are badass too. And the final one that I want to share before we bring in Dave here is that staying on top is harder than getting there. And I think that from a fighting sense, it's true, you know, holding a title, keeping a title. From a leadership sense, it's true. And the fact that when you're working hard, you work hard. When you're not the best and you want to be, you work hard to go after it. And then when you get to be the best, then what? It's a hard sometimes to maintain being in that place and being on top. And we were just chatting before the podcast, and we'll continue to share some of that with you, about the idea that it's really hard about the what's next and how do you stay engaged and keep climbing, even if you have this idea that you have reached the top. So at this point, before we formally introduce Dave, I would like to go out to a highlight video. And for anybody that is listening to the podcast today and doesn't have the opportunity to watch it, then I urge you to head over to the strategichotbox.com and check out this video because it really gives me the chills every time. So you're going to hear some of the music and voice that's happening in it, but it's worth taking a look and getting online and giving it a gander. So Scott, let's roll the video.
My name is Optimus Prime.
Amazing. I love that video. Woo! I urge you again to get out there and check it out. If you were just listening today, it's worth the Google. So now I'd like to formally introduce our friend and guest here, Dave Mazzani. He's a professional MMA fighter, fights for EFC Worldwide in South Africa, trains at Extreme Couture for pro wrestling shows for future stars of wrestling, teaches group fitness at True Fusion. I went to that class at True Fusion, totally kicked my butt. So if you're listening to this, go to his class. I mean, I died maybe twice or three times during the class. Traveling referee for North American Grappling Association. You've got a degree in human performance and physical education with a minor in coaching, which is really cool, from Adams State. You're an NCAA Division II cross country and track and field athlete. That sounds like it set you on a track of success. And you fought in Canada and Australia and South Africa and then all over the United States in so many different states. So welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. It was good. It was interesting to see that the highlight video. That was the beginning of my career. And
was
you saw
it?
All the bumps and bruises, and that was 8 years ago. So you can imagine how many
more you've gotten.
Then. So mental, physical, emotional bumps and bruises, but you know what they do? They make you stronger.
I love that you talked about, we mentioned it briefly when we were chatting before the podcast about this mental, physical, emotional, like how does that all play together in fighting and in what you do?
Fighting is one of those things that, like, everybody wants to tell these war stories of, hey, I was in a bar and I sucker punched this dude and I knocked him out, bro. And they want to relate to me. But, like,
that's them trying to be like, hey, also fought.
Yeah, I fight dudes. You know, I fought this dude in the street. But there's zero accountability.
Yeah.
And when there's zero accountability, you know, you don't face the same obstacles that I face.
No.
So when I sign for a fight, they're like, hey, you're going to fight somebody and you're going to fight somebody in 2 months. Here's a picture of them. Here's videos of them. Are you ready to fight them? Okay, cool. Oh, by the way, thousands of people are going to watch. By the way, it's going to be on the internet. Everybody's going to know the results. If you totally wussed out, everybody's going to know. They're going to talk smack.
Sure.
You have to weigh in the day before. And if you're 1 pound over, you're a piece of crap.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like everybody judges
you.
Like we all try to lose weight, but I have to be on the dot.
You have to do it.
I have
right.
to. I mean, I could miss and I'd lose some of my purse and then people think I'm an unprofessional person for being a pound
over. Is that how it goes? If you don't meet your weight class, then it's...
You move. They can choose to fight you or not, and you lose 10% of your purse.
Wow.
But so that kind of accountability and that kind of pressure, I think,
dedication,
is unlike anything people realize. Like,
right.
like you talk about your doctorate or whatever, and there's probably like I'm sure you can think of a time when you had the biggest test of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine that biggest test when every single person that you love and care about is watching you in the process of taking that test. And there's people that might even judge you a little bit.
Tests don't typically
analyze
hit
it.
Me back either. I just, I'm just going to throw that out there.
Right. Right, yeah, you become the hammer and the nail in the ring.
Right.
Yeah, they'll punch you in the face.
Yeah, imagine that touch come up punching you out.
And that's the worst part. Wounds heal.
Right.
Wounds, physical wounds heal. It's a mental and emotional part of fighting. That's the hard part. Like we train every day. I get punched in the face. I'm gonna go after this. I'm gonna grease up my face. I'm gonna put 16-ounce gloves on. Me and my friends are gonna spar and get better. But hey, does that sound bite in there?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. So I mean, like physical things heal, and I'm fine with that. It's just, you know, that the emotional fit, the that's the thing that people don't think about. Like, oh my God, look at that gash in your head. I'm like, bro, you don't know what we feel on the inside as fighters, as performers, or as people trying to, like, you know, inspire others through our actions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I do it, right?
Yeah.
I do it because I was a young kid. I looked up to athletes. And they made me a better person. And, you know, I think you have to give back. You have to pay it forward. My way of paying it forward is I want to be that great athlete. And when I run to a kid that looks at me the way I looked at, you know, I grew up playing hockey. And when I looked up to great hockey players in Anchorage, Alaska, I want to give that kid exactly what they gave me, and then some.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's one of the things that really drew me to you. And taking when I have taken your classes a couple times afterwards, you always end with some sort of moment of this is you chose to be here, be present. It's a whole body, it's a whole self kind of interaction, and you also kick our butts in the fitness side of it. But it's so, I love that, because that to me is part of what fitness is being in the moment and knowing that you're serving yourself and helping yourself in wellness and that type of thing.
Right. Fitness to me, and fitness, training, when you're training for anything, it's a metaphor for life, right? You within an hour workout, if it's a good workout, maybe it's guided by somebody or whoever, right? You get to this moment of the beginning, you're excited, you might be nervous, anticipating something. You get through the middle, there's parts of adversity, there's a technique you might not know. There's parts that just, that you have a lot of pain. You can make two choices. You can choose to push through or you can choose to hold back. You can do one of the two things. You can stay in the comfort zone or you can push through that pain and see how high you can get. You can fail a set. Maybe you're doing some reps and your muscles fail, but that failure is what makes you grow, or you can choose not to fail. You can let your body fail or your mind. So, and at the end, you sit back, you reflect, and you look forward to the next workout and see what you can do differently, you know? And so that's what I love about training. It gives us challenges. So I think, like right now in our society, the way things are, we're pretty comfortable. There's no Vikings coming over the ocean, raping and pillaging your village. We have hot showers every day in America. You know, in South Africa, I get to see a different lifestyle. You know what I mean? And it's humbled me even more. And so we need challenges. Our body makeup, our genetics, the cavemen that we evolved from had challenges every single day. They had nerves, and we have to acknowledge those and exercise those. And that's why we have things like depression and stuff like that. The cavemen didn't have to worry about depression, worry about like emotional problems, because they dealt with problems. They put stress on them. We make up stress because we're used to being stressed.
Yeah.
So if you go work out, that's stress that you put on yourself, and you overcome it. And that's why you feel good after a workout, because you found stress that you were evolved with, right?
And endorphins are there. That's amazing. And you've told us a little bit about this, the journey that you've had, and you're giving back to the next generation. But is there any other kind of components? What's been your journey in fitness and fighting?
Man, I started as a young kid. I played ice hockey growing up, and I ended up being a decent track and field athlete. Through college, I was a distance runner for Adams State. I didn't have the body for distance running. I didn't. I'm a little thick, you know, like for a runner. Those guys were like razor thin. You look at a Kenyan compared to my body type, it's way different.
Sure.
And I learned genetic potential, physical genetic potential. I didn't have it to be an elite runner. My thought with running is, as long as my legs move faster than everybody else, I can beat them. And as long as my mind's strong enough, I can force that to happen, right? That was my mindset. And I did it, and it broke me. It literally broke me. I was injured over, 90 miles a week was killing me, right? 90 quality miles a week at 7,500 feet in Alamosa, Colorado was kicking my ass. So then I converted to the decathlon. And so I went from a complete aerobic to anaerobic system and learned a whole set of techniques like you're talking about. I had to learn the decathlon, 10 events, right? Throwing, jumping, running, you know, everything, learning a new way to eat, lift, led to learn a bunch of new lifts. Again, that was a big thing. After that, after I got done with college, I always followed mixed martial arts. I was like, I'm going to do that. And it was just a bucket list item. And so I went to a Gracie Baja gym. I trained. I did my first fight. I was like, oh, it was fun. Did my second, third. I was like, okay, this is great. This is fantastic. There's something exhilarating about putting yourself in like a stressful situation and overcoming it. Right.
And there's adrenaline in it too.
Yeah. And there's adrenaline every day. You lay down in bed, you get adrenaline. Oh shoot, I'm going to fight in a month. You know? And you get up and you train, you do your thing. There's adrenaline all through it. But yeah, and I guess I am an adrenaline junkie in a lot of ways, because it makes me feel good when I overcome my fear.
And it serves you, and you're serving it too.
Yeah. So I took a fight. I lost my first fight in Anchorage. And then I took a fight in Edmonton. I ended up losing that fight, but I did really good with one of their main guys. And then I fought again a guy named Ryan Ford. You can look this up on YouTube. Ryan Ford smashed my orbital, bones were literally coming out of my nose. My nose is touching my face. And I remember my coach going, oh my God, your nose is gone. You know, I was like, oh my, I was bleeding real bad. I had an orbital fracture, no health insurance. And so I paid like 15 grand out of my pocket to get that paid off. I moved back in with my parents for a little bit, saved us some money. And then I go, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go to Vegas, because I'm not done. Everybody's telling me to quit over there. You know, people in my gym were like, ah, Dave, you know, before I was like the star guy, 5-0, Dave, you're doing
and
great.
And now they're saying,
nah, I don't know, you should hang them up, bro. You're gonna get hurt. People are like, hey, you should find a real, you know, thing to keep you going. And after that, I go, you know what? I packed up my pickup truck. I drove through Canada down to Las Vegas. And I started training for real. I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, this is about 7-8 years ago when we were in the recession. Mm. Alaska was doing well. We had oil money. Like, things were going good up
now
there,
Vegas.
The economy. And no, don't go to Vegas. So I moved in with my aunt and uncle for a little bit. I had like $9,000 to live off of. I lived off of it and I trained. I trained my butt off. And so, again, people like some, there's like two people that were inspired by my story. My parents weren't too happy about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they supported me. They weren't happy, but they supported me, which I'm very fortunate to have that.
Yeah.
So there's no fights because the economy sucks. What's the first thing that goes down? Entertainment, right?
Right.
Like, there's no fights anywhere. So I'm looking for fights. All of a sudden, like South Africa, this is an EFC Africa called. They needed a fighter on 10 days' notice to fight their world champion.
Oh, my 10 days?
10 days' notice.
Oh, my gosh.
In Johannesburg, which is at 7,000 feet altitude.
Oh,
co-main event in front of 7,000 people, right? So I'm like, yeah. I mean, I couldn't find a fight. I'm like, sure, why not? And I'm coming off of 3 losses. So typically a fighter will fight an easy guy after coming off a couple losses to
but
get their confidence
up. But you
want
to go upwards, yeah.
But like, it was my only option.
Right.
I didn't have the ideal situation, but I was ready. Mm-hmm. All I was doing was training. I was eating healthy. I did, you know, I was ripped already. And I had to cut down to a weight class I never have, you know, 24-hour flight over there. I throw my back out before the flight because I'm training really hard.
Naturally.
Yeah, right. And so I get to the fight. I pound a bunch of ibuprofen. I'm like, all right, let's go. Let's do this. See what happens. So I'm fighting Wenzel Nil in EFC. And, you know, biggest crowd I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
Right? The Coca-Cola Dome.
That's
in
crazy.
Johannesburg. So I'm looking around. So we fight. I lock in the choke. Boom, on Wenzel Nil. First round. And the first thought in my head, because my confidence was so low from losing 3 fights in a row, I was like, I wonder how he's going to get out of my choke. And then he taps. And I'm running around the ring. It's the first time I threw up the Iron Claw, which ends up being my pro wrestling
yes,
finish.
And we have a shirt here.
Yeah, that's my finish. I find a Roman candle, like, throw up the Iron Claw.
Yes.
Right? And that became my signature after that. But, so I won this fight, and I'm just ecstatic. I'm like, holy, I didn't, you know, whatever. They interview me. Hey, Dave, so what are you thinking? You know, what do you have to say about this? I go, dude, I haven't won a fight in years, bro. I am so excited.
That's Woo! What you said?
Yeah, that's literally what I said on national TV, Africa. And then so they cut that.
Right,
the thing. So, yeah, after that, they kept their organization within Africa for a while. So I fought all around the country, but I kept contact with them. And then now, like 5-6 years later, after that fight, they brought me back to EFC.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and it's because I kept good relationship. I built my relationship.
It's all important.
Yeah, it is. Like, because a lot of fighters, hey, man, you would have brought me back, you know. They give him the finger or whatever. I was like, thanks for the opportunity, guys. I appreciate it. They brought me back, and now I'm the only American in that promotion in South Africa.
Cool.
I have the honor, the privilege, the, you know, so it's good. And then I get to influence people on another continent,
yeah,
you know, because it's worldwide.
Absolutely.
Over
it
there.
Is. It's a more of a global perspective.
It
so,
is.
So if you could if you could share an action item or of something that you've learned that you want to deliver and give to somebody else, a takeaway. Way for everyone that's listening.
Right. So the biggest thing I have learned through my experience as a fighter, because I've seen fighters come and go into a gym.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you come to a gym, this guy's the hot new thing. He won 2 fights in a row. He's knocking people out, takes a loss. Then, you know, I'm going to go do something else, which is fine. You know, maybe that's not your thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's something you truly want to do, you commit to something and you want to make that thing happen, you're going to have setbacks.
Mm-hmm.
If you're pushing yourself to an elite level, you're gonna be set back. I don't care what it is. If you haven't had a setback in your journey, you aren't challenging yourself enough.
Absolutely.
And like you said, people say, like one of my favorite quotes, fall down 8 times, get up 9.
Mm-hmm.
So do not quit. Right. So that's the only thing. It's not the fighter that has all the talent. It's not the fighter. And I'm talking about fighter. Let's talk it figuratively and literally, right?
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
fighter, because we're all fighters. We're all fighting for something. We should, if you're not fighting for something, find something to fight
find
for.
Something,
find
right.
something.
Yes, find
you
absolutely.
Need something. Whether you're a parent, you're trying to get a career, whatever it is.
Absolutely.
Find something to fight for. But within that process, you're gonna have setbacks. Do not quit. Keep going. Because, you know, it's going to happen. It's not the fighter.
That.
It's not the, so like I was saying, sorry.
Uh-huh.
It's not the fighter that is the most talented. It's the one who keeps going.
Yeah.
The one who does not stop. The one who has that, like C.T. Fletcher says, that magnificent obsession.
Mm-hmm.
Have your own magnificent exception, obsession, and keep going. Do not stop.
That's amazing. Yeah. And I love that the point that you made. If you want to be an elite athlete, that's what it takes. So right. If you actually want to be good, then do the work that it takes to be good.
Elite athlete or elite anything.
Elite anything.
And I think there's no
leader,
reason.
And
I'm saying, like, even if it's a modest thing, I want to be an elite mother.
Right.
I want to be an elite father.
Yes.
Right. We should strive to be elite at what you want to do. What
yeah.
is your magnificent obsession?
Yeah.
Think about what it is and work for it and be that.
If people wanted to follow you, get in touch with you, how would they do that?
I'm on Twitter at Mazany MMA, Mazany MMA. Same handle for Instagram, Graham, at Mazany MMA. And I also have my Facebook fan page. Just type in Dave the Pain Train Mazany.
Dave the Pain Train.
That's right. That. You might be able to find it. That's a whole story in myself, but sounds like we're running out of time.
Yeah, that was it. So thank you so much for being here. I appreciate hearing your stories and understanding your passion. And I love that. So let's head out to the shout out.
Hi, this is Eric Williams coming from Front Range CrossFit in Denver, Colorado. You're listening to Brandi Stankovic on Strategic Hotbox.
Thank you to Dave for being here today. Thank you to Eric for the shout out from Front Range CrossFit in Denver, Colorado. He was judging a Masters CrossFit competition and sent us a shout out here on the Hotbox. So thank you to Eric. And thank you to Dave, the Pain Train and the Iron Claw. Right,
right there, baby. Woo.
So now it's my favorite time, your favorite time. It's time to kick some ass. Here's your top five kick ass. Number one is know what you're fighting for. Had a beautiful way to wrap that up in what Dave was sharing with us about know what your magnificent obsession is, know what the purpose is that you're doing, and go after it. Be elite at anything that you are passionate about. Know what you're fighting for and make it happen. Number two is return to the technique. He talked about how his technique served him. It was interesting to hear how maybe your technique in running in Denver helped your tech that day in South Africa at that elevation, and just how it all plays and builds this foundation of who you are and who you want to become. So return to the technique, especially if what you do is primarily intellectual. Number three, practice humility. You have to know that you're not the best. You have to be ready to serve. Have that confidence, but also know that you got to continue to train and you got to continue to go after it. Number four is respect the competition. And it's kind of falls in line with that practice humility, but that there are other people out there that are going to, that want to, and in everything that Dave does, kick his ass. There are people out there that legitimately want to kick his ass. And how does that play a role in how he trains and gets himself up and goes towards the goal? And the final one is get back up. I think that we said it together in the conversations we were having, but it doesn't matter if you've fallen down. It doesn't matter if something is harder. If it doesn't matter if you've gone over a speed bump or a mountain or a hurdle, whatever it is, you have to get back up. It's all about your perseverance and going. If you want it bad enough, you'll make it happen. If you want it bad enough, you'll make it happen. So get out there and get back up. That's your top five kick ass. So thank you to Dave for being here. We'd love to hear from all of you out there that are listening. Get in touch with Dave and reach out and see the things. Check out that highlights video that we'll have on our page, and he has it shared in his social media as well. And share your thoughts with us on the strategichotbox.com or Twitter at Brandi Love, and same with Instagram. We also have at Strategic Hotbox on Instagram for ongoing access to me, executive coaching tools, leadership development, worksheets, books, and a network of people that want to kick ass just like you. Visit thestrategichotbox.com. So until next time, legitimately get out there and kick some ass.